Blog Talk.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you once again for joining us tonight on this gracious and most lovely Tuesday night for the Latter House Bible Enrichment Hour that is being hosted by Granny's Place. We thank you for joining us, and we thank you for just coming on the line tonight and helping us lift up the name of the Lord and getting some Bible enrichment and learning some few things and just being here to listen to the Word of God. The Latter House, is a people predestined to restore virtue in a society barren of spiritual and moral excellence through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is our endless desire to join a diverse generation for the purpose of connecting and developing other champions. In a technological advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, special events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which the wounded and unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. It is our aim to continuously create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all can discover the champion within. We invite you to be a part of our important project. Prayerfully consider partnering with us as we build the platform where the nature of God can freely be experienced and expressed by all. For more information, please send your email inquiries to thelhnetwork@gmail.com, and that's Predestined to Restore, Dr. S.D. Carter, founder and national director. We thank you. We welcome you to join us tonight. We ask that if you're listening by cyberspace or computer, you can still dial in at 310-982-4126 to listen in and voice. And we're just going to wait till our members get in and come on this evening to say hello to everybody that's been listening. And we just want to appreciate our sponsor, Beverly Beasley of Granny's Place. We are here currently in Dallas, where we are housed at 1415 Wheatland Road at the First Free Will Baptist Church, where the pastor is Reverend Terry. And we want to give a shout out to him, and we also want to give a shout out to my pastor of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, Elder Michael Morgan Sr., and also to my husband, who is Minister Lewis. Just say hello to everybody in the listening audience and who are out there listening, and those that are getting ready to come on and join us tonight. It's been a nice, beautiful day in the neighborhood, and we've had a great, great long day. It was just so nice to be able to get up and go to work and still have our being, and praise the Lord for that. I give thanks and honor to my Father who is in heaven for all that he's done today and all that he's going to do and all that he is doing in our lives today. We thank God for that, and we're just so happy to be able to bring you this program and this enrichment hour that's going to be taught by Dr. Shelton Carter, who is the founder of the Latter House and a very anointed and gifted man of God. He's just real wonderful and gifted in the word of the Lord. He is inspiring. He inspires us daily on the morning call, where we have the Breakfast of Champions. And it's just so wonderful to have joined the family of the Ladder House, to know that they are people of God, they are people of love, they are people of unity, they are people of hope. And we just, it's just wonderful to be joined in with them. I look forward to the morning breakfast every day, and we call it the Breakfast of Champions, so Sister Shanine says, and we just have all our sisters and brothers on every morning. It starts at, I think it's 6:30 Pacific time and 6 o'clock Pacific time and 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we're just there, and we give our testimonies and share our loves and our everything with each other, and build each other up and help each other just make it, make the day. And then Dr. Carter comes on and gives us a word of encouragement or a word that God has given him. And it's just wonderful. It is just a beauty within itself. So we are just waiting right now for him to join us and for some of the other members of the Ladder House to come on tonight and join us. So what I want to do is just share a little music until we get somebody on the line here. So you won't have to be just listening to me for the whole time. So I'm going to just play us a little music while we wait on him and wait on the rest of the family to come on and get this thing started. So here it goes. We're going to listen to just a Nobody Greater mix by B.B. Wines and Tasha Cobbs. Enjoy.
Nobody can heal like you can.
Okay, I see we have got some callers in. Want to give them an opportunity to say good evening or give a shout out to whomever they would like or to the listening audience. The floor is open. Hello? Anybody want to say hello? Good evening? Okay. I guess we'll continue to enjoy the music. Can you hear me? Hello? Chanel, are you still there? Okay, can anybody respond to me and tell me if they can hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening. Good evening, darling. I can hear you well.
Okay, I was just wondering if I see I had dropped a couple of people dropped, so I didn't know if I was being heard. Or would
yes,
you like to say good evening?
Yes, good evening. Matter of fact, Sister Shanine, she had tried to call in and had a situation, so
Okay. Maybe
they were having a problem or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see she had called in and she dropped, so maybe she'll call back in. But how are you this evening?
I am blessed, Patrick. Yes, I am. It's a great day in the neighborhood. But great evening. It's a great time to be God. Amen.
Yes, it is wonderful. Wonderful evening.
So excited about what God is doing, what he's doing here at the Ladder House, what he's doing in our lives, just even, you know, learning and just being so grateful and so excited about the benefits that we have as servants, our awesome, awesome God that we serve. So it's a good, you know, when we know what we have, then we can get excited about that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We can boast in the Lord's goodness. That's what
yes.
It's so wonderful to be able to just have him as our Savior and our Lord and our confidant, our everything. We're just so happy to be able to do that and love the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So you had a good day?
Yes, I did. I went to funeral services of one of the, to keep the family, the Fowler Bonner Bird family lifted in prayer. Their matriarch passed, and she was 93, so praise God to see 93, you know, that she lived a very, very good life. And I was talking with her daughter, and she just happened to be the last of her generation that lived on the street that I grew up on. So it was just a pleasure to see her family that I had not seen in a long, long time. And just to celebrate her homegoing of, you know, her being 93, Lord, praise God, she got a chance to be blessed to see a lot of time. Anytime you can almost get to be 100, oh my goodness.
Yes, and that is so wonderful to be able to do, to get there. You know, God is just so good when you can make it, you know?
Right, because so many... We see here in this world that we are in right now, so many young people are not getting past their 20s, being either gunned down by police or gunned down by each other or whatever the case may be. And when you get a chance to experience a full life, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful because I'm not only experiencing my 60s, of course, you know, you get a chance to come into that 60 club, but getting to see it being in my 60s, being in retirement, being able to enjoy some of my retirement. I have friends and talk to people that didn't even get a chance to even retire from their jobs or anything like that. And I've been retired now for eight years. I'm just so blessed to be able to see and be retired and get a chance to enjoy that retirement. I had a friend of mine when his mom retired, I think she didn't even get a chance to get her first retirement check. She passed before then. My brother, he passed as he his during his birthday, his 60th birthday, and he didn't get a chance to enjoy his retirement. My sister, same with her. She was sick and decided to take her retirement. So she spent her last year or so, her first year and only year of retirement, sick. And I have been blessed to have good health and be all, I am just really grateful. I feel so blessed to be where I am right now and in my health and in my spiritual journey and all the things that, you know, I have in my life, just knowing who God is, knowing who the Holy Spirit is, I was speaking with an awesome man of God, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit and how we don't look at the Holy Spirit for who he is, and how when Jesus told the disciples, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, that's when you receive your power. Amen?
Amen.
And we have to, I'm so excited. He said he's going to do some teaching on that. And I just can't wait. I just cannot wait because, you know me, I love them promises and benefits.
Okay. Yep, I love them too. I need you to do something. I'm fixing to have Pastor call you so you can get him in, bring him in, because I made an error. Okay, so I'm going to have him call you so you can get him in, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Carol. Because it's telling him it ain't no show, and it is. But that was my fault.
And maybe that's what's happening with Sister Shanine.
Yep.
That when she called off, she got music.
Yeah. No, I was playing music.
I was playing
music, and till somebody came on, that's what happened.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So just give him a minute. He's trying to get in now. Thank you for getting him in, and I'm gonna tell her to call you too. Okay.
Okay.
I made an error.
The switchboard. I pray.
You know, sometimes that happens. Now, sometimes that happens. We just get beside ourselves. You know, trying to do the right thing.
Amen. Can you
hear me? Amen. You in?
Yeah. Good evening, darling.
Good evening. How's everyone?
All right, we're good.
I got background noise, but I'm in. I'm good. I was telling Sister Carolyn, I came in and I heard music or something going on.
Yeah,
and I thought I had the wrong number. I hung up. I was calling back, trying to figure out if I was on the right line. I called the wrong
I was playing music until I got some people on, so that's what happened tonight. That's what I'll be doing. If I don't have a one or two in, I have to just can't talk like you can. So I had to do the next best thing. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Mhm. So, okay, thank you. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to turn it over to our illustrious pastor, Carter. He says he's on now. So, Pastor Carter, you have the floor.
Good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you clearly.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is a pleasure to be on tonight. I was, again, having a little difficulties getting in, but however, we're present, and it's all well. Amen?
It's all well.
Amen. It's all well. It's all good. I want us to I want to see something real quick at 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Okay. Yes. Let me see. Find this Bible in the Bible. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Yes, yes, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen.
Amen.
I think we are about 30 days away from a very important day. And I want you all to mark it on your calendar. And I want you to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I want you to rejoice. The first day
Amen.
Of spring.
Amen.
And the first day of spring is coming.
Yes, it
and,
is.
March
21st.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that is a very significant date in time, history, and in the spirit.
Yes.
All right.
That's another national holiday.
That's beyond national.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Praise God.
Yes. Again, God bless you all. It's hard. 1 chapter 12. I have shared from here before with you all. And the Lord has led me back to just some of the things that that I went over with some of you all. And oftentimes when I get a chance to speak to those that listen to us minister, I ask questions. And I ask questions. One is not to discover your ignorance, but so that I could inject some wisdom and spiritual impartation, the wisdom that comes through knowledge. We want to become knowledgeable about our walk and not just be lofty Christians that are just walking around and have no real basis to their Christianity, if you would. And so we want to be mature. Paul is writing, amen, and this isn't, well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege to share your word. I thank you, Father, because this is a responsibility that has been given to me by election, by your own sovereign choosing within yourself. You did it. You didn't ask anyone. You chose within yourself. And so, Father, I say thank you for considering. I thank you, Father, for choosing. I thank you for selecting. Now, I pray, Father, that I'd be everything that you would need me to be in this moment, in this day, and in this hour. And therefore, equip me with every part of you that I need to be everything that you've called me to be in this day. I bless you that tonight we are fulfilling our assignment and that we are speaking according to the Spirit of God. And therefore, the people are being edified, ignited, and excited all at the same time to go to new levels and new heights in you because you are lording over all of our affairs and therefore speaking to us by the Spirit. I thank you that you are our Christ. I thank you that you are our Lord. I thank you that you are our Savior. I thank you that you are our King. We thank you that you have been our all sufficiency. We just say thank you. Now minister to our hearts, our minds, and our souls tonight, and knowing our ears to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul, is, of course, is writing the Corinthian church, Paul being an apostle sent to the Corinthians, amen, to minister. The Corinthian church is typical of more urban ministry. And I say that because there are enormous giftings that were found and discovered amongst the Corinthians. They were a highly gifted church or a highly gifted people. And these gifts, of course, were things that were given to them, amen, without repentance, without repentance. And so they had this enormous ability without a restrained condition or a restrained heart, if you would, or a restrained soul without this. And they've been given this thing called a gift. And so Paul is addressing, amen, this gifted church. And I don't know, by way of ministry and throughout the duration of being a pastor and ministering to the lives of people, I noticed that, again, we're coming across this group of people that are highly gifted. And the Bible records to us, as it relates to gifting, he says all gifts come from above, from the Father above, and there's no variance, no shadow or turning thereof. He says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good and perfect gift. The word good is tilos. It means for the benefit of. When we talk about the benefit, we're talking about something that is gainful, amen, by the receiver of the gift, not the dispenser of the gift. And so if you are the object that has the gift that is in operation, the good part of the gift is for the benefit of the receiver, not the one that is the gifted. Okay? It is for the benefit of. Now, notice that he says, about good and perfect gifts. Good and perfect. When he says good and perfect, he's not talking about two different giftings. He's talking about one gift or a particular gift or the particular carrier of the gift. And he's saying that that gift can be good, which is for the benefit of another, or it can be perfect. So he's saying that there's a how-to on how this gift is supposed to be used. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. You understand what I'm saying this week?
Mm.
Good and perfect gift. Your good is for the benefit of someone else, correct? So what is the perfect gift? The perfect gift is not when the gift benefits somebody else, but perfectly using that gift is when that gift benefits you.
Okay.
This is important because of gifted people. Your gift sometimes can camouflage, sugarcoat, or cover up some important particulars should not be ignored but can be ignored. And the ironic part is that it can be ignored for a period of time, some 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. And you can go undetected because you're gifted. And in your gifting, people will assume that because you're gifted, that you are actually spirit-filled. Your gifting doesn't mean that you're spirit-filled. Your gifting just means that the spirit one day decided to deposit something and did it without repentance, did it whether you are using it under the unction of the Holy Spirit or not. We read the other week when we read out of Ephesians where he says that we have to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we were called. He called us something before we came worthy of the thing that we were called. And he does this because he understands that you are never going to be worthy of anything that God actually gives to you. But if you're going to come up to the level of maturity in that thing, he understands he has to give it to you before you can ever earn it, because you can never earn it because you're not righteous enough to earn it. So he has to give you a gift that you did not deserve, but yet you qualify for, so that you can walk in the grace of the gift, so that the gift that is enormous and potentially powerful does not destroy you.
All right.
I'm going to say
that. All right.
Because we got a lot of people that are singing in choirs and ushering on boards and standing in places of assignment in their gifts. And because their gifts are at work, people assume that they're in the spirit.
Okay.
Now, yes, the gift that has been provided by the spirit will operate on levels, amen, that will bless people and assume the operator as the Holy Ghost, when the reality is we've just polished that gift and we've learned how to use that gift so in such a way. Because you got to remember, if you polish it, it'll shine.
Yes.
And so if it's shining, it'll look to somebody as if the Spirit has lit you.
Yes.
And that's fine, because every good and perfect gift, the good gift is for the benefit of somebody else. But I want to get to the place where if my gift isn't just benefiting the people, but I need my gifts to start benefiting me.
Hmm.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Am I saying anything yet?
Come on.
I want my gift to benefit me. He said there's a good level of using this gift, and then there is a perfect level of using this gift. But regardless thereof, this gift will work. And so as the beneficiary of the gift, amen, is those that are on the outside receive of the gift. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you?
Okay.
You're the one that's receiving of the gift. So you're the beneficiary of the gift. I have the gift. My gift blesses you. Okay? Because,
okay,
again, anything that is edifying comes from the Father. So the Father is edifying you through me. But my gift can take me to a place of 50 years in ministry, that if I don't surrender my gift to the operation of the Holy Spirit and submit it in proper order and authority, I may be blessing the people, but I want my gifts to bless me.
Okay.
Especially considering that if I pastor a people, that means that I speak to people 52 weeks out of a year. And if I'm speaking to people 52 weeks out of a year, those people have the benefit of coming and receiving, amen, of a spirit-filled gift that is being dispensed, amen, out or released out of a life or out of a bowel spiritually into the life of somebody else on a weekly basis, which means that irregardless of how you handle yourself throughout the week, there is going to be somebody that's going to be pouring into your cup on any given Sunday. So you might have wasted all your oil Monday through Friday, but by the time you got back in there on Sunday, you got refilled again.
Man.
Not so preacher, because again, the preacher comes in on a Sunday morning and he's releasing. And he is releasing. And he is releasing. And he's releasing the first 10 week, releasing the second 10 week, then he's releasing the 52nd week. And then the next year, and then the next year, and then up on the next year, and because the gift is under the dominance and the control of the Holy Spirit will take you to a place, amen, in the Spirit, just to uphold you so that you can release the thing that God gave you, because again, the thing that God gave you is for people. It's for the people. It's for the people. Moses,
amen.
I called you because I heard the cry of the people. I heard the people crying, so I called a man, put him on the backside of the desert, ostracized him, made him a fugitive on the run, all because the people were crying. Wait a minute, that don't make no sense. Well, that's because you don't understand how the gift works. Because of the issue of the people, the tool that was necessary to mechanically do the operation on the being that were crying resided in Moses. Remember, Moses was put in a basket, sent up the river, raised and trained in Egypt, amen. And so therefore he was developed, and he was developed, although he was a Hebrew, he was raised as an Egyptian, and so he is developed in skill. He is developed, amen, in his gifting and his ability. Why? Because God is training him for reigning now. So he's equipping him with his gift, but before he loose him in his gift, he has to take him outside of his comfort zone, put him in a place of wilderness, and it's in that place that you don't get to use your gift, because again, if your gift is for the people, well, there is no people because you're on the run. You're in the wilderness. You're in an isolated place. And it is in that place that you don't get familiar with your gift. You get familiar with your gift the more you expose your gift amongst your audience. You get familiar, amen, in that isolated place with the giver of the gift. And the giver of the gift, the Allah's Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, he is the one that teaches you all things, and one of the things he teach you is how to use your gift.
Amen.
And one of the things that we do notoriously awful as preachers, teachers, ministers, and laborers in the gospel is that we beat ourselves to preach the gospel, Paul says, not realizing that we are causing harm and damage to ourselves because we're absolutely moving in our gift, but we are not taking the time out to move, let that gift move in us. And so you run to the pulpit to bless the people, not realizing that you done spent everything that you done worked up for the last 6 days, released it all in one moment. Then you got to get in your car and go back, and you got to figure out what to do with that emptiness.
All right.
You're gifted. You're blessing. I mean, blessed at moving. Blessed. That gift is at work. Let's talk about it. Paul says, and now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, verse number one. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now, he says, therefore, or for this reason, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul starts off addressing this highly gifted church, and he said, look, I know you got gifts, but I don't want you to be ignorant about the gift that you got, which means that you can have a gift and you can understand the functionality of that gift, but you can be ignorant, amen, to the potentials of that gift that have not been discovered to you because you feel, because the gift is blessing the people, that the gift is blessing you. But there's a place that the gift can be blessing the people without blessing you, because the gift comes without repentance, which means that the gift that is good can be doing a good thing, just not for you. Because you assume that because you're operating in your gift and the gift is blessing, That means that God is affirming you. God is not affirming you. God is affirming himself.
Okay.
Oh, my God, it is. Because we have substituted, amen, anointing for pleasing. And being anointed does not mean that you're pleasing God. Being anointed means that you have a gift or a potential that God needs to put his ability on top of your ability so that he can get a job done that you couldn't get done in your own reasonings or ability without his ability. And that ability that is his ability is called the anointing. The anointing don't make you special. The anointing makes you responsible. You can be anointed and yet not be approved. Oh, man.
Come on.
Oh, you can be gifted. I mean, awesomely gifted. Lord, Lord, we preached in your name. We fed the hungry. We healed the sick, all in your name. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Depart. Worker of iniquity? Wait a minute. I just raised the dead in his name. Remember when we shared about the names of God, that name Jesus has authority. But in using that name has power, even or rather not, you are permitted to operate in that power. Or not.
Amen.
So that name will work, and demons will tremble and bow down to the strength of that name. But they're moving at the name. Oh man, y'all better hear me. You better hear me. They're moving at that name. They're moving on the authority of that name, not you. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant as it pertains to spiritual gifting. I don't want you to be ignorant. It is quite possible that you can be ignorant and yet highly gifted. Ignorant means that you are without the knowledge that you need in order to become all that you have been purposed to become, but you can't become all that you've been purposed to become because you cut the lesson out on how to operate in the spirit, yet you start moving of the spirit without the spirit, which made you an illegal operator in the spirit because of this truth. Paul says this in one. He says this in one place. Jesus says this. He says, "Don't rejoice that the devils, amen, came out, but you need to rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
Okay.
Don't rejoice that they came out because them coming out ain't nothing. Because they're not coming out in your authority; they're coming out in His authority. And yes, you may cast a devil out of somebody, but don't realize that you're fighting the devil in your own body that you can't get out.
Come on, man.
Because the gift works for the people.
Come on.
But it's your consecration, your dedication, your submission. And that is a very strong word, because you do not have permission to legally operate in the things of power unless you are submitted. And submitted, again, is not a dominant position, but submission literally is a willful position in when I willfully get up under authority. I'm not forced to. I willfully get up under it. I haven't been urged to. I willfully do it. I do it because I'm strong enough to get behind the train. Some people can only get on board if they're the conductor, but sometimes you got to be able to get on, amen, just because you can, so you can be attached, connected, rightfully operating in covenant.
Come on.
Are you understanding the words coming out of my mouth?
Man.
You want to be in the rightful place. Why is that? Because Paul I know. Jesus I know. But who are you, the demon said. Because you have a gift
that has been given to you by not only the Spirit, but you have a gift that has been given to you, amen, possibly birthed straight out of the anointing for an anointed purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then he himself gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, till we all come to the fullness of Christ, the Godhead, totally, till we grow up. That's what he said, till we grow up into the head, which is Christ. I put a gift in your life, and that gift in your life is there to develop you so that you may mature, and it's one of the fivefold ministry gifts. It's an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or an evangelist. And you have to understand what gifting presides over your destiny, what gifting presides over your gifting. This is why you can't just choose your church by the yellow page, but you have to choose your church, amen, by the selection of the Holy Spirit, who knows more about you than you do. You All do right. not get to pick your spouses of fellowship based up on your blood ties, your relation ties, your denominational ties. You have to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit himself places the members in the body as he so pleases. Why? Because he knows how to sit you under your gift so that he can develop the best out of you. Stir up the gift through the laying of hands of the apostles. God has somebody assigned to and for your gift. There are some things that won't wake up inside of you until you get next to your gift. This is important, people, because now we're moving into an area of what you call spiritual covering, and spiritual covering is not just who church you go to. You better be careful about them terms you're using as it relates, that's my covering. Because, again, if that's going to be my spiritual covering, my spiritual covering, then you better have the ability, the grace, and the elevation, not by men, and not by the suit you bought the other day or the collar you wear, but you better have the qualification, the establishment in the Spirit that can only be given by the Spirit. Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but you have no right to be operating in this gift or trying to operate in the Spirit outside of proper covering, because the Bible says they were operating in ministry, but as they were operating in ministry, the devil himself came and whipped the clothes off of them. Because you were operating in your gift, but your gift was an operation that was out of order.
All right.
It was out of order. And as long as it's out of order, then the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, has no obligation to uphold you in your ignorance. Brethren, I wish, he said, brother, I hope that you all don't be ignorant as it pertains to spiritual gifting. Don't be ignorant. No one calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You can't operate in the fullness of him unless the Holy Ghost has planted you, established you, and put you where you belong. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses. Two or three witnesses. All right. I can show you throughout the New Testament where the apostles were moving in ministry, even Saul, who was converted, and now we know him as Paul, who has written the third of the New Testament. Paul himself did not get released to be all that he was ordained to be until he got that second witness. The apostles came back being men spirit-filled by God and affirmed the work that Paul had already started out, which was the vision that God gave him. Not the good ideal, but the vision. When I say the vision, we're talking about a revelation or a dispense or a disclosure of the mind of God provided, given, downloaded to men. The mind of God that he's given to men. What man? A man that is connected and wired by the Holy Ghost, because this thing is a spiritual transmission. It is a spiritual operation, and you do not want to be operating in the Spirit ignorantly, and you definitely don't want to be operating in the spirit world without Jesus.
Amen.
Because there's pronounced
Amen.
Trickery in the spirit world that if you don't have the knowledge, you will be deceived. For even the very elect will be deceived, the Bible says. What do you do when somebody throw their rod out there and it turns into a snake? You assume that they're operating, amen, under the fullness and in the permission of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Moses goes to Pharaoh on assignment, which was the vision. The redemptive revelation of God's mind disposed or released to him. He didn't just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to go and free the children out of Egypt today. No, the Holy Spirit separated him, got him to himself, and began to reveal to him what his assignment was. Once he got his assignment, which was to go and tell Pharaoh to let the people go, he had what we call the choosing of the Lord. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
Many are called, few are chosen. This is apostolic work now. When I say apostolic, I'm not talking denominational. I am talking function. So in function or principle, practicals, many are called. And I share that the calling of the Lord is when God calls you from where you are to where he is or where he wants to meet you at.
Amen.
And this is usually without your permission.
Amen.
Because remember, it's about submission.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit is working an operation. He says that we are all God's workmanship created for good work. We're God's workmanship. We are God's mystery in motion that is being operated and led by the Spirit, which means that we have to keep our intellect outside of God's business when he's trying to operate his kingdom. And he's trying to operate his kingdom when he's trying to set you. He's trying to set you in the body. Well, how is he going to set you? He's going to call you first. Many are called. Why are you being called? Because he's trying to bring you from that to this so he can get you to where you got to be. What did he tell Abram? He said, leave your country and your kinsmen. And Abram left Ur of the Chaldeans. Well, Ur was a place in where they worshiped the moon.
Okay.
And God had a plan to use him, but he understood he couldn't use him with him being set in the place that he was set at, which was in Ur of the Chaldeans, where they worshiped the moon. He said, I'm going to need to get you away from your country and your kinsmen because that doctrine is not what you need in order to ignite the gift I put inside of you that have been lying dormant for the last 50 years. But now it's time for that gift to be used. And so I'm setting you in the body strategically. And spiritually, this is not some happenstantial, accidental conversation that we are having tonight, people. This All network right. is not some incident or accidental communication line. This Monday through Friday dialogue isn't just something that is happening. The Spirit is operating right now. And I don't care how many highs, how many lows, how many blows, or how many does we done had. We have always had a body to speak to for the last 4 years because God has called you. And this ministry, this network, is an operation of the Spirit, and that's why it is constantly under attack. And God says that you got to teach them how not just to be gifted, but now teach them how to operate in the Spirit with that gift.
All right. Amen.
Now you understand that by sitting. Sitting requires being set. He sets the solitaires and families, Psalm 68 says, and the rebellious dwells in the dry land. He calls you a solitaire. He sets the solitaire in family. Family. What is a family? That word family is familiar. It means that which is familiar, kind, taste, and type.
All right.
He sets you with your kind.
Uh-huh.
Let me help you something. I know them your kinfolk, but your kinfolk ain't always your kind.
Amen.
I know that's your cousin and them, and I know that's been your friend since the third grade. But baby, when God is getting ready to use you, He is not trying to get you, He's not campaigning or polling or trying to get you to agree. He is trying to get you to submit. He's trying to get you to the place where you say, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, your will be done. And if you want to move me from here and set me there, you set me where you want me to sit." Be seated.
Yeah.
For those that have been planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, Psalms 91. What is it, Psalm 92? What is he saying? Those that are planted in the house, he said, they are going to flourish in the courts. The courts are like auxiliary ministries that are connected to an overall body. He says you're going to start flourishing when you are planted. Well, that word planted means to be transplanted. To transplant means that he has to take you up and place you somewhere else. He got to take you outside of everything you thought you knew, replace that thing with something you did not know, and then therefore send you on fire in your assignment. Why? Because you got ignited by the knowledge of the operation of your gifting now. So you don't just sing now, but you know why you're singing. You know what you're singing. You know who you're supposed to sing to. And better yet, you know who you're not supposed to sing to. You understand me? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus comes out of the wilderness after being anointed. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is up on me, and he has anointed me. Wait a minute. The Spirit has anointed me. When I was out there in this wilderness going through what I was going through, the Spirit anointed me, and when he anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He also anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, Luke chapter 4. Matthew 4. He also anointed me to preach the gospel. This is what he anointed me to do. In other words, I'm not just anointed, but I know why I'm anointed. That's what Jesus was saying. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. He anointed me to heal. He anointed me to proclaim. That's what he anointed me to do, and I found out about this anointing not by just getting up and grabbing a text and teaching a sermon. I got familiar with this thing when I was on the backside of the desert, better yet, in the wilderness for 40 years and 40 nights, but better yet, I got familiar with this thing over the last 30 years of my life before I ever operated in any gift. I was a carpenter. But wait a minute, you don't understand, I'm called to preach and I'm called to do this and I'm called to do that. I understand that, but what you don't understand is if you start operating in your gift and you just start operating in your gifting without vision, then you're going to operate in your gift and you're going to upset the overall predestined plan of God that is universal.
Amen.
You're going to mess something up. Because you are religious and traditional, and all you know is what the doctrine of your big mama's church from the last 95 years has taught you, and there's been no fresh revelation, no fresh understanding, no fresh vision, and now God is trying to seat you, not so that you can be dormant, and I know you just want to be busy and you want to work, but no, you want to become familiar. Many are called. What is the calling? The calling is when God calls you from there to here so you can sit your butt down and learn something.
Come on.
The calling of the Lord is the same as when your mother called you. When your mother calls you, your mother calls you because she wants you to come from where you are to where she is so you can see what she wants. So don't be screaming out from your bedroom talking about, huh? When your mama calls you, she wants you to show up.
All right.
When God calls you, he wants you to show up.
Amen.
And it's sad to say that some people are missing the calling. Something got went wrong in the communication line. They're missing the calling. And so because you missed the calling, you can't receive the choosing. So many are called, but few are chosen.
Come on.
And it's only the chosen that are sent. For how shall they preach of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they've been sent? If you ain't got a vision, then you just giving sermons. And you shooting in the air aimlessly. You just giving any kind of word. Anything that makes sense or cute. No, baby, I got a direction for where we're going. I have an understanding that everything is leading to an end. This is not shooting from the hip as we go along. This is the Spirit of God navigating our course, our steps, and our direction. We can go back and listen to messages from the last 12 months, and we can look right now where we at, and we go, man, God has been directing us all along.
Amen.
Yeah, it's time that we start paying attention to the Spirit and not just moving in our gift. Our gift. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? We want to start operating in the Spirit with our gift. And when you're operating in the Spirit with your gift, then you'll understand that sometimes it is not even important that I use my gift. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to do this, that, and not that.
All right.
And if I step into doing something that I was not anointed to do, then I run the risk of distorting, disabling, upsetting the whole overall plan of God.
All right.
And this is the thing that I fear in this upcoming ministry. Not ours, but when I look around and I look at ministries that are popping up, these social media ministries, these quick fix, these grab an ordination, pick it offline ministries. I hear you and I understand where y'all are coming from. But baby, there is a way that seemeth right. There's a way that seem right. But you're going to know whether or not you are right when that devil starts showing up. And when he show up, I'm telling you, he's going to show up and show out. And that's when you better have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can't fake it then.
Amen.
Because the organ ain't on and nobody see you at midnight. It's you and all those gargoyles that you got to deal with.
Come on.
And as wonderful of a singer you are, as wonderful as a minister that you are, your gift is not going to get you out of this one.
Come on.
You better hear the Holy Ghost. Brethren, I wish above all things that you would prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. What profit is a man to gain the whole world and he lose his soul? Well, how does he lose his soul? Because he gained the world because his gift will make room for him, place him before good men, and he'll become a performer because he has soulish issues, and therefore he is people-pleasing. And so when Satan tells him stupid stuff like, if you be the Son of God, then jump off the temple. First of all, because I am the Son of God, I would never do anything so ridiculous.
Amen.
Secondly, because I am the Son of God, I definitely don't have to prove to you anything. And thirdly, because I am the Son of God, my ministry, my purpose, and everything about me is totally submitted and committed to him. So therefore, whatsoever I do, it is to him and for his glory. And therefore, I will never use my gift to show off or to prove to people that I got something.
Amen.
If you be the Son, jump off the temple. If you be the Son, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son, no, I am the Son. That's why I don't have to do none of that.
All
right. But wait a minute. Do all the what? Do all the stuff that I can do, but I refuse to do because the Spirit hasn't led me to do it, release me to do it, and therefore I will not step into iniquity.
Come on, come on.
Because we get into ministry and we start doing stuff because somebody told us to do it. Mm. Or they think that I'll be good at it. And they'll push you way out there until hell start raining. When the naysayers start talking, to the backstabbers show up, the betrayers show up, till the fires get hot. They'll push you all the way out there and leave you hanging with the bill, the mail, and the baggage.
Mm.
Because you stepped out there because you let somebody pump your pride up. You better surrender that pride, submit. And therefore, I submit to the authority and the control of the Holy Ghost, and therefore, I ain't doing nothing until he tell me to move.
Amen.
Y'all can say what you want. I better sit still and stay still. Don't have any more room for error. Now, you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Amen.
Lord, we heal the sick. We raise the dead. Depart from me, you worker who works iniquity. How did I work iniquity? I work iniquity when I use my gift outside of proper covering.
Mm. Okay.
What's going on with some of you now? It's not that what you knew, what is wrong, is that God is trying to proper cover you now. He's trying to properly cover you. Because he is ready to release you to the world, and he can't release you to the world uncovered. Oh, well, you understand, Doc, I got a church. No. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about being covered. Are you here to, are you here tonight?
Come on.
Amen.
When God got your gift covered, he got you covered in the process. Because trust and believing is not enough. Because remember, your anointing is for people, not for you. So I can get up in here and minister and speak and preach. People leave here happy, running, excited, blessed, encouraged. Man, ready to go to the next level. Rich, abundantly supplied. I don't watch people grow up, blow up, get it together, pull it together, keep it together. And some of the same things I preached them through, I had to struggle with. Some of the same thing I principally taught them, walked them through it, elevated them, educated them, edified their life, being instability. Some of the same things I went through.
Come on.
Believe it or not, I have very, 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 very strong conviction for marriage ministry. As extreme conviction for it. I believe in the covenant and the power of marriage. I believe in it. I believe that it is for dominion, expansion, increase, and authority. I believe it is the true essence and the true joining of marriage that brings and annihilates and destroys the work of the devil as God said he would. I believe that because two operates as one, and that was Jesus' prayer in the garden. He said, Lord, make them one as you and I are one, walk in absolute unity, so therefore this absolute agreement can destroy and bring devils down, amen, not because I'm quoting or preaching, but because I'm principally operating together as you said I should do. But wait a minute. And so when we teach and when we preach and when we marry and lay hands, since 1997, out of all the couples I've married, not one of them has divorced. Not one.
Amen.
Not one is hungry. Not one has been evicted. They all have come, they might have gotten married and were sleeping in the car. A month later, they were living in an apartment. A year later, they was in a house. 2 years later, they were owners of property. I'm trying to tell you something. Because I believe in that. And so when people come and I minister into that,
But that's one of the greatest things that the enemy hits me in is relationship.
Hmm.
I mean, they will leave there excited, happy, running, skipping. But I always get hit right there. Hard. It's as if the devil is like, oh, you're going to bless other people. Oh, you're going to be a blessing to people, you say. He said, let me stop this mess right through here. But no, we believe in it. We believe in it. So, have you ever seen people that operate in healing ministry? If you study those great generals that operate in the healing ministry, often a lot of those generals had horrible, horrible terminal illnesses that they died from. Horrible. Because their gifts was for the people. And they ignited and stirred up their gift. But did you not know, although I may be the authority and you have are the one that is submitted, did you not know that as my authority covers you, that your submission covers me?
Amen.
And it works as the same. Just as your honor could get you to places in your destiny, in your hope, and in your calling, likewise, that same honor you bestow will lift that man of God and get him where he belongs.
Amen.
And, and this is how God has made it, that the both gifts work together. I need you. You need me. We need we. And this is why we protect our unity. Because we don't want anything to come between the thing that I need. I need you. I need you. You ever want to encourage a pastor? Bring somebody to church. You ever want to discourage him? Keep walking up there every week by yourself. Especially in the car you don't believe for, and you ain't brought put nobody in that car since you believe for it. Your car is a ministry tool. It is an evangelistic tool. And if you show up every Sunday to worship with nobody in it, then we're not doing the first work of ministry, which is the work of the evangelist, which means that we are distorted and we are operating outside of our gifts.
All right.
Oh, God, bless me today. Oh, God, heal me today. Oh, God, I need this for me today. Oh, God, I need a new car. For what? So I can get to work. For what? So I can take care of me. What, didn't I already tell you that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by the proceeding word?